Lord, open now my heart to hear, and through your word to me draw near. Let me your word e'er pure retain. Let me your child and heir remain. Amen. The word of God that is the foundation of our message this morning is the gospel that we heard a moment ago recorded in John chapter 1, this joyful account of John the Baptist seeing Jesus come toward him and pointing his disciples, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." God bless our time as we see the joy that the Holy Spirit works through this truth. Friday night, I got a call from one of our members who has been in a long and drawn-out battle with cancer. It's been years. The first diagnosis was upsetting, but came with the encouragement of hope for successful treatment. But more went wrong than right, and healing turned into months and years. And that made the news all the more unsettling when a checkup revealed that there was cancer in another place. And it was another long and difficult, and at times just plain depressing battle. And then it happened again. There was good reason for trepidation last week when they received the results of a scan that would show if cancer had returned again anywhere in the body. And then something more than disappointment when the radiologist said they found two more spots. I remember said, "Well, I'm planning on getting together with a family this summer," and the doctor said, "You'll be sick by the summer. We need to start chemo now." They had an appointment at Mayo's in Jacksonville on Friday to find out where else the cancer was and what course of treatment he was going to use this time. I can't adequately share his emotions as he struggled to tell me that the doctor came into his room and said, "I've looked at the scan and I can't find any cancer." After all he has been through, that is not what I was expecting him to tell me. And that's not what they were expecting the doctor to tell them either. But there's something far more than grateful to God. And they're here this morning. Grateful, knowing all the while that this might only be a lull in the storm of what God might allow for the rest of his life. But today, and each new day, he has a unique reason to wake up and be thankful. God had given a man named Abraham phenomenal earthly wealth. Abraham lived more than 4,000 years ago at a time when wealth wasn't measured by what the bank account said, but by how much land and cattle you had. And he had a lot. But Abraham would have given all of it away if he could trade it for just one son. Imagine the emotions when God appeared to Abraham when he was 75 years old and said, "I'm going to give you a son." And then add 25 years of patience testing that God added to it when he waited before he gave him that son. Abraham was 100 years old. And his wife was 90. He loved that son. So I can't imagine his emotions when God tested Abraham's love and devotion and faith to God when he told him to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering. And what uncommon faith God had given to Abraham, because no matter what was going through his head or his heart, the Bible tells us that he got up early the next morning to do what God told him to do. They started walking, and on the third day, Abraham and his son Isaac reached the place that God had showed him. And then we learn that Isaac had learned from his father to also trust God, because it wasn't until that morning that his son finally asks, "Dad, we've got the wood. We've got the fire. But where's the lamb that we're going to sacrifice?" And Abraham answered with his actions. He built an altar. He put the wood on the altar. And then he bound his son and put his son on the altar. Then, as only the New Testament would give us insight, trusting that God would raise his son from the dead, if that's what God needed to do to keep his promise to send the Savior through his offspring, Abraham raised his knife to do the unthinkable. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and stopped him. "Abraham, don't. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And Abraham looked up, and there caught in the thicket was a lamb. A lamb. "Look, son, a lamb. God has provided a lamb to be the sacrifice in your place." How long do you think it took for Abraham to rip those ropes off of his son? How long and how tightly do you think that father held his son in his arms that day? And how many people do you think that Abraham and Isaac wanted to tell what God had done for them by sending that lamb? He gave them a unique reason to wake up each new day and be thankful. John the Baptist knew about that lamb that God had provided for Abraham that day. He had the Old Testament book of Genesis that would have told him, and he had a father who would have made sure that he heard it. John the Baptist knew all about the Passover lamb because they sacrificed it every year as a reminder of the lamb that was sacrificed to spare the lives of the firstborn in every household when God led Israel out of Egypt. Because he had a father who followed God's word. John the Baptist knew all about the endless sacrifices of blood payment from animals that God demanded as payment for sin, because his father, Zechariah, had spent his whole life as a priest serving in the temple and offering those sacrifices. Zechariah would have explained to his son that God demanded blood payment because God wanted his people to know how offensive, how ugly, how hurtful, how destructive, and how wide-reaching the effects of sin are. But no matter how many sacrifices of lambs or goats or bulls or cows, as long as it was the blood of an animal, they always needed to offer one more. Because the blood of an animal could never take sin away. It could never truly pay for it. What all those sacrifices did do is remind the people every day that they needed the blood of the Lamb who could. But how would they know who he was? God didn't want anyone to miss him. He sent John the Baptist to tell them that the blood coursing through the veins of Jesus of Nazareth was the priceless blood of the Lamb of God. He has come to take away the sin of the world. John said, "I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." God showed John what he never would have known on his own, and John couldn't do anything other than tell others. Do you see what his disciples saw? Do you see the Lamb of God? And know who he is and what he's done for you? Let me ask it in another way. When was the last time that you referred to any chart, any list to see what you needed to offer God to pay for what you've done that you should not have done? When is the last time you looked at any sheet that would tell you what you needed to offer to pay for what you did not do that you should have done? What's the right price for talking so much about you that you don't hear another? What would be on that sheet to pay for that? What's the right payment for hearing the word of God and not caring to do what it says? What's the right payment for speaking so quickly or so sharply or so carelessly? What's the right payment for what you said because you were angry and frustrated and thought that justified saying what you said or how you said it? What's the right price to pay for the hurt that you caused because of it? What's the right payment for causing others to sin? What's the right payment for our thoughts that don't bring glory to God? What's the right payment for all the unnecessary things we've said that don't bring glory to God? It's easy to hear, look, the Lamb of God, and not necessarily feel that we have a unique reason to wake up each new day with thanksgiving. Look, the Lamb of God. The Lamb that the Old Testament prophet Isaiah said would come into our world, who would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. The Lamb who was oppressed and afflicted and like a lamb led to the slaughter. He is the right price for every sin I mentioned and every sin that you could only hope that I wouldn't mention. This is the right price. The body and blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The body and blood that washes away your sin and your guilt and your shame. The body and blood that gives you peace with God in your heart and in your mind and in your soul. When the Holy Spirit works in your heart to know who the Lamb of God is and to know what he's done for you, your heart will know that the Holy God just walked into your room with news that you weren't expecting and said, "You are going to live." We have unique reasons to wake up each new day and be so thankful. When St. Andrew heard and believed, he became the first disciple to follow Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was go and tell someone else about him so that they would hear good news they weren't expecting either. How long, how tightly did Abraham hold on to his son when he had him back in his arms again? How thankful to God was he for the lamb of sacrifice that was killed instead of his son? God wants you in his arms forever. He sent the Lamb of God to make that happen. He's invited you and me to come. See, look, the Lamb of God. And he sends the Holy Spirit to create faith in our hearts to know who he is and what he's done for me. Who can God use me? Who can God use you to invite to come and see what we have seen, to hear what we have heard, so that they might believe in him? And so the Lord can wrap his arms around them too. Look, the Lamb of God, our perfect sacrifice, our loving Savior, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.